go ahead and start the meeting. And first of all, I just want to thank everybody for coming today, because of, and especially you. Because of the weather. Did somebody twist your arm? Did somebody twist your arm?
He did.
But the weather, the way the weather is, and especially up toward y'all's guys' way, it looked like it was still pretty bad on that. But and I want to especially thank the ladies for an outstanding job that they did
two weeks
ago. I mean, outstanding. If it hadn't been for y'all guys, the thing would not have went as smooth. And I wish that your wife and Shirley. And then there was the other girl from the Sun News. Isn't she from Sun News that helps out all the time?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, those. Y'all did.
And Dennis's wife.
And Dennis's wife.
Bill's wife.
And Bill's wife. I want to thank y'all, all of them. Make sure all the wives.
And Bob worked everybody under the table.
Yeah. But I want to make sure that everybody's safe, because without them, it wouldn't have been as good as what it was. And I wasn't able to really sit down and do a good treasurer's report because I didn't have all the expenses in. And if anybody has any outstanding expenses that they need to give to me, now it's time to pass them up. Now, this is for last year. What did you give me one for this year? You got one for this year?
What grade did you get to?
But we did do a really good job, and I can kind of give a rough estimate of when we left here the other day. I had about approximately $935, I believe. And I still got all these expenses I'm going to have to take out, so it'll be next month before. Do we meet in December, or do we wait to January?
Nope. Usually in December we have a Christmas. We go out for dinner.
We go out somewhere. Right. Okay, that's something we need to bring up too then and take care of that.
We don't have a meeting per se.
Okay, let me just give you kind of a rundown before I switch horses here. I got a lot of bill pay for last month, and the only thing I've got left outstanding as far as those type of bills is I've got to pay the taxes on it, which I'll bring that up to date. I'll have that out this week on the taxes, so that'll be taken care of. In the beginning, there was $344.37 as far as our ballots prior to the deposit. Then I paid the live bill that's going to come out of that, and I made $935 deposits on that. So I'm not quite sure exactly how much that brings us up to, but we're in pretty good standing right now, and I'll give you a rundown, and I'll have all the expenses broke down next month. Has anybody else got anything else that I need to put with the expenses to take out this time? None? I'm kind of jumping ahead here a little bit. On this.
I missed that. Can you start over?
Okay. Well, basically, we're in pretty good standing right now.
I can hear you in there.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. That's good, man. Sure don't get into this, moved around here. But basically, we got around $1,000 in the account, which is probably about normal for right now, I think.
I think that's a little bit higher than normal,
but is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For this time of year.
For this time of year.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have
we're usually down to counting pennies about this time.
And I don't have a total accurate count of the petty cash in there. So
the thing is I don't think you old timers. I don't mean that literally, but y'all ever remember making $900 at a fly-in, selling $900 worth?
I don't think so. I think we do not.
Because I personally think that was probably a record. I mean, we had. We notified everybody in the world, and we had great weather. Jeez.
Great.
Yeah.
Couldn't order a deal.
Nope. So, I mean, it's just, it all fell together. You know, just, I thought it was excellent. So,
like I say, without the ladies dishing out that food and rationing it out, because we started running short on food.
Yes, we did.
And it came down that I was only charging half a plate because we didn't have, basically we were out of food and they were paying just a sandwich and a drink.
Yeah.
But that's good that we run out that far.
That's funny of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had quite a bit left over meat.
Well, we went through, my wife made 20 pounds of potato salad.
Yeah.
And I think it was 20 pounds of coleslaw. I think it was. She bought it in the big bags.
Yeah.
I think it was 20 pounds. And that wasn't enough. And the only reason I say this is because I'm going to put it on record for next year so we know to make 30 pounds or something next year. You know.
We had quite a bit of meat left over, so.
Yeah, but you know why? Because we forgot that there was an extra pan of meat. That's the story I was told. And because I come in late, I was outside. And I said, is there anything left? And they said, well, we found that extra pan of meat in the oven. They forgot. And I think if it had been out, they probably would have sold it, or gave it away, whatever. But you know what I mean. Plus, the other thing is that we weren't giving out much meat. You know, I was looking at the plates, and I mean, rightfully so, because there were so many people. Yeah. But anyhow, if it had been like normal fly-ins, we might not have had enough meat.
But we had more meat this time than we ever had.
Yeah,
we had four bucks more.
Yeah. How many do we normally have, though,
eight.
Trace? Huh?
They used to get eight.
Yeah.
We had 12.
Had 12.
It turned out pretty good, though, as far as I'm concerned.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
It was almost as good as Bladenboro.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up, too, because Corey and Bill and his wife and me, we went up to the Bladenboro fly-in last weekend.
Tell them about the F1 the guy flying
up. The guy those rockets that were here.
They
one of them at least comes from Bladenboro. And anyhow,
that was Bobby.
I'm 80 years old.
You guys missed a good fly-in. You should have went to Bladenboro, and I highly recommend you go to Bladenboro next year. Because it's different than ours. It's not competition. It's not the same. I don't think they had quite as many airplanes numerically, but theirs was active.
They
were coming and going and giving rides and just in the sky. And plus, when we got there, it was raining. It was overcast. Wind was like 30 mile an hour. I mean, they had a terrible day to start, and then it got better, you know, as the day went on. But still, the windsock was there just like this. You didn't know which way the wind was going any one second. Okay, just twisting and turning.
That's an uphill airport anyhow, you didn't know.
It's, well, there's a cutout, sort of. The runway is straight like this, and there's a set of trees right at the end, and another set right here. So you sort of come down in between the trees, but
right
you got to make a left right there.
Right over top of a house.
Yeah, right over top of a house. And you got to make a left, though. To actually get lined up with the runway, and it was great though. The barbecue was the worst I ever had in my life.
Amen.
Oh my God, it was terrible. The coleslaw was good. The buns weren't no good. Their baked beans was pinto beans that they put some onions in, and they heated them up for 2 or 3 minutes max. Okay. They didn't look like baked beans. They didn't smell or taste like baked beans.
They had cans of bush beans there.
That's what they were.
Mess up that.
I know. Oh. But anyhow, don't get me wrong. I ain't complaining because it was good. Hey, they had a good idea, too, that we should have done, and I hope that we'll do next year.
What was that?
They had a drawing that it was a 50-50 drawing. And anyhow...
I think it got up to $400-some dollars, didn't it?
They got the win each of them. You know, the chapter got half of it, and the person that won got half of it. Anyhow, the winner took home $172. So, I don't think they had near as many people there as we did. We had a lot of people here.
Oh, we had a drawing. We'd have made
$300 or $400 extra just off the drawing. I kid you not. I think we really ought to do that. That was a great idea.
I brought that up. I think I talked with you about that, about doing a 50-50 drawing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we
some that like those ideas is something we should incorporate.
Yeah.
And something that Wayne just brought up was that we may need to make out a list of exactly how much food we prepared of each type, so that we'll have a good reference.
Well, that's why I was saying, that's why I was telling you, because I'm putting it on the recorder so that we have a record of it. Our food and everything was just, didn't even, is way, way better than they had, okay? But the thing that, it was a good fly-in, though, because the airplanes are coming and going constantly. If you, they had to park across the runway from the, where the chapter building is, and so you had to walk across the runway to look at the airplanes lined up. You had to pay attention because airplanes were coming all the time, weren't they, Victoria? Okay, I mean, you,
the guy in the Christian Eagle showed up there, and he come in hot. Now I'm telling you, what.
That dude come in sideways between the two trees that you got to make a left. He come in sideways, okay, like this, and then made a left. I mean, he wasn't 20 feet in the air,
but
maybe.
The building is right alongside the runway. So, I mean, you talk about spectator sport.
Oh, yeah. Every time a plane comes in, what went through my head was, if something goes wrong right here, where am I going? Okay, because them airplanes were landing almost right over top of your head. Okay. It was fun, though. I told Corey, I said, where else in the world could you get to stand this close to airplanes landing?
Were they landing downhill?
No, well, there is a downhill, but it's way down there. Yeah. And they were landing on the flat part up there next to the highway.
In fact, that one couple was off the back of their car, one come over.
You ever been to Clio? Yeah.
To where?
Clio.
Uh-uh.
I went up there one time, just heard about it at the last minute, and drove up there. And it was piled over with when I got there, but it was a T-6 up there. Flying around, he was having a good time. And we were standing, the runway's real narrow, trees, hangar, right on the edge of the runway. Mm-hmm. And we were standing at the hangar, and you could almost reach out and touch the wingtip of the T-6 coming through there.
Oh, yeah.
He come through so low, I believe I could have reached up and touched his wingtip with his wheels up.
Another real good fly-in is Bergall. Twice a year, they have a real good one. Yeah. Good food, too. They have it catered.
Speaking of food.
Oh, that is a good point. That's a good point. Anybody wants, if you want to join, you know, you can join as many chapters as you want. Yeah. Okay? You can be a member of 1,000 chapters if you wanted to be. But for anybody who wanted to join those people, they have 80-some members. They said that they have, wasn't it 35? What, I think it was 35 or 37 is what they normally have. So that
George.
Hey, George. But, I don't know. We couldn't figure it out. We didn't actually get to talk to the people that was running. I didn't, you know, get to talk to the president or anything like that. I asked the lady inside, and she told me that it was $25 a year, and they meet the first Thursday, wasn't it? The first Thursday at 7 p.m. of each month, you know.
Yeah, that kind of makes it hard for
that. Yeah, that makes it hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But they're a real active chapter, is what I'm saying, you know. So, I don't know. The guy, Hester, is the one that owns that airport. They call him, everybody up there calls him Bobby. And he's, they said that he's 80 years old. He's the one that flew in that Harmon rocket in here, the red one. Okay.
Had that 250 mile an hour pass.
Oh yeah, and he done several of them up there. Okay, straight up, smoke ons, twisting, turning, hanging on the prop. The man's 80 years old. Okay, ain't no way in the world this old body right here could have done it. I mean, I'd have fell apart.
Where was this at?
Bladenboro.
Oh yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah, we missed that.
That was a good fly-in though. But anyhow, we went. For several reasons, we love fly-ins. But we also wanted to get some ideas for ours, you know. And I think the 50-50 thing is...
That's a good idea.
I tell you, that worked for them up there. You know, what they did was they give a... It had just a little ticket. You can buy them tickets, I think, at Walmart or wherever. But they were $1 a piece, or they were six for $5. And everybody was just buying $5 worth. I mean, you know. But so who won? Who would you think would
win?
Who would you think would win? You know?
Me?
Huh? Yeah, well, you would hope, right?
Yeah.
Somebody that's got $3 in their wallet, right? No. Doctor won it.
Well, last year, when we left, they're flying. Last year was the same weekend, so we went up there.
Uh-huh.
And Some rich guy won it, and he just gave all the money back to him.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he gave the money to him.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Bergall done the same thing,
wasn't it? Well, see, that's the easiest thing because you're not having to buy something and then worry about whether you're going to recover the cost on it or not when you do the 50-50.
Yeah, that's just
the most
profit,
simplest, buddy. Easiest thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. So we, that's one thing that we learned from up there.
But
we also learned that our barbecue is good. we need to stay with what we're doing because them boys up there, they don't know how to make no barbecue now.
See, this is Bill's second year. Can you imagine how good it's going to be next year?
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, see, that's one of our main attractions is the barbecue. So you reckon that's why we get so many people in?
You're going to put it together.
The biggest problem that with their barbecue was, number one is the ketchup-based sauce, and I don't really care for ketchup-based type sauce.
It was too sweet. Okay,
but it had, the biggest problem was it had the fat and the gristle and all that chopped right up in it. You couldn't take a bite without having to take something out of your mouth, you know.
Well, ours wasn't like that, was it?
So.
Again, I think the people that prepared it here.
Yeah. Yeah, it turned out really good.
Everybody else.
And for your information, the recipe, the guy that made that recipe, Jim Baker, I don't know if anybody got a chance to meet him, but he was here, him and John Matthews, and they harass me every year about our barbecue being terrible, and this year they said, man.
I saw John
good.
This week at the airport down in Georgetown. So, but he says it still wasn't good as Georgia.
No, because you know what? They do a whole pig.
He's
and
partial to
See, Georgia. It's not just the sauce, it's also how you cook it. And you know what they're doing. They're cooking it on hickory, on hickory coals. I mean.
I might get into a pig.
No.
I have somebody that does that. Funny enough, maybe we ought to.
Well, John said he would do it for us next year. Free, no charge.
Oh, really? Do the whole pig?
Yeah, he'd do a whole pig. I mean, we have to buy the pig, but. Yeah, he said he'd do it. He said he'd do it this year.
He gave me a whole day to tinker on my airplane.
Yeah.
Because I had to babysit the meat that's right next to the airplane.
So. Yeah.
Is that why it was good to put some sawdust in
it?
That's when I engineered my motor mount that day.
Well, the chicken and rice that I cooked, was that something we ought to do again?
You know, there was a lot of people...
That was good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
There's a lot of people got that.
It wasn't here when we got here, so it must be
good.
I need to cook more next time.
Yeah, because there was nothing left when we got here.
Okay.
We were late as usual, right?
That was a 2 chicken bun, so maybe I need to do a 3 chicken bun.
Anyhow, I think the food and everything we did was great, as far as I'm concerned. I think everybody did, had good words about it.
So if we get a list on it, then we'll kind of have it already down.
Yes, now ahead of time. Seriously, yeah.
Down pad, then.
Well, if we're getting it on the recorder there, so he can just, if everybody's put everything in.
Yeah, plus I already got it.
A lot of it wrote down.
I got it listed what they volunteered for.
I don't know if I said it or not, we had 3 gallons of baked beans.
That's 3 gallons?
That's how many we cooked.
Yeah, we probably ought to double that next time.
Double?
Yeah.
Did you run out of beans?
We can do that. Yes, we did.
Yes,
we run out of beans.
We kept opening cans.
Matter of fact, I did 2 gallons and had another gallon in smaller cans in there, and we opened all those and cooked them.
Yeah.
So that was 3 gallons, and we still ran out. Mm-hmm. So we need to do at least a couple more.
Yeah.
That was 3. Maybe do 5 next time.
Maybe do 5 then. Don't want to overdo it.
Well, no matter what, if it's bad weather, we're going to be overdone. If the weather don't cooperate.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Anyhow, another thing that I wanted to bring up, I mean, as I'm hogging the meeting today.
Yeah, I'll just sit back and
December 13th is the last fly-in of the year, you know. That's the Georgetown. And their barbecue is always good. I guarantee you it's good.
Yeah. And that's Georgetown.
Yeah, and what he does is, what he's been doing is it's $6 for the barbecue, but it's all you can eat. You can come back any number of times, he don't care. And that includes, they usually have cakes and all this kind of stuff, and they have, bottled drinks and all. I mean, they just have all kinds of neat stuff. Last year he had a half a pig laid out on the barbecue, and, that's where you got your meat from, was right there on the barbecue.
What date is that?
13th is on a Saturday. I think it's, I think it's the second Saturday. I'm not sure.
That'd be right.
Huh?
It would be the second Saturday.
Yeah, it'd be the second Saturday.
That's the day I come back from the cruise. We're coming right past there.
Really? Well, I tell you what, it's you know, it's funny. December 13th is late in the year, and you think it'd be cold and freezing, but every year I've went every year, and it's been, you know, 65, 70 degrees, which is very tolerable. You know, for December, that's not bad. It's, I mean, knock on wood, it's been good every year.
I think it was on the 8th because it was. I was going past it, going on a cruise that way. This year I'll be coming back, so we'll be able to stop there.
Well, that's the last one of the year, and then of course, you know, we begin next year, I guess, with Sun and Fun, you know, in April. So.
Burgo, a week ahead of that.
Really?
Yeah, they were before Sun and Fun.
I really like to go to Burgo, but it's just a little bit far from where I'm at, but it's.
It's good.
Well, fly like 300 minutes.
Yeah.
You try to find Berg off from the ground. It's not easy. it's not easy to find from the air, is it?
Well, with that GPS that GPS you got sitting over there, it ain't hard to find. I guarantee you.
It's in the woods now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice airport though. Can't wait to get the real good plane.
Anyhow, the only other thing that I know to bring up is about what we do, what we're going to do for Christmas this year.
That's right.
Last year we ate at Ryan's. You remember?
Yeah. That was a good spot. I like that.
Yeah.
Why don't we try the Ryan's?
You did. You weren't
in North Myrtle Beach, so we don't have to go so far. Some people, for them, it's good. For us, it's
anywhere you pick is going to be far for me, but I don't care because I drive it just about every day.
What about instead of Ryan's, why don't we eat at the Golden Corral? They have a really, their food to me is a little bit better than Ryan's, and it's the same one. What do you think?
Outback
is kind of getting on under a little bit.
Outback doesn't have a trough. I mean, you have to order off the menu.
Yeah.
And you know, the problem with Ryan's wasn't the food, but they had everyone so jammed in there.
That's true. That's true.
Golden Corral has got plenty of room. Maybe if you talk to them ahead of time, they'd give us an area.
Which one and when?
Well, the only one I know is up there at Colonial Mall. That's toward the north end. You know where?
On 501 you're talking about?
No, 17.
That's some business.
Yeah, it's right there on intersection of 501 and 17, yeah. Right here by Walmart.
No, I'm talking about the one that's up here at Colonial Mall. It's
North Myrtle Beach.
It's at where 22 and 17 come together.
There's Golden Corral up there?
Right yeah.
There at Walmart.
It's right there at Walmart.
I never knew it either.
So that might be easy for you if you're coming up there. Just swing right on down, pick up 31, 22, and it dumps you right out into it.
Yeah, but I didn't know it had it.
But basically, even for us being a long ways away, it's just easy to go down 30, whatever that new road is, it dead ends right in at the Ryan's.
Well, see, this one goes. I mean, you dead end right into it, and it's halfway.
Oh, yeah. This one, you go down 31 and take 22 and go right to it.
Okay.
It's short, much closer than Ryan.
And Surfside.
Yeah, but what date you going to make it?
What date you going to be gone?
Yeah.
No, we'll be 13.
I'm just kidding.
The following one would be the 20th. That's too close for most people.
Well, it's not for me, but...
No, that's fine with me. You got the 13th is on Saturday, and then the 20th is on Saturday.
Yeah.
You got a calendar on that fancy machine here?
So you got the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th.
And he's leaving the 6th.
I'm leaving the 6th and coming back.
Well, 13th's the flying down Georgetown.
Yeah,
I don't really want to.
What about the
do that.
20th? How's that sound with everybody? That's always
fine to me, but a lot of people it's awful close to Christmas, but it doesn't bother me.
What day?
20th.
What's the 20th? Is that Saturday?
Saturday.
Yes, Saturday. Yeah. Does that sound good with everybody?
How about everybody else?
Well, what about the Golden Corral? Does everybody like that idea?
I don't have no problem with it.
Golden Corral's are great. And by the way, Golden Corral on the 17th, that's Monday, Veterans is free after 5 o'clock.
On the 17th?
17th of November?
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be for Veterans Day, but they didn't have it on Veterans Day. They have it on the 17th.
Yeah, they do
and
that.
I called them and talked to them because I heard it somewhere. Mm-hmm.
They do that every year.
Yeah. And if you're a veteran, and I said to them, well, you have to ID or anything? He said, nope.
You just walk in and say, I'm a veteran.
Yeah, I think I only a low down rat to do that, but.
Yeah. Might get shot at too.
They ought.
And people start asking you what you did and where you were at, and you can't answer the questions too good.
Well, yeah, a lot of that good, can you?
Yeah.
Anyhow, just record it up. But 20th would be fine with me, and that Golden Corral down there, I'll find it somewhere.
Well,
it's on the same side of 17 as Walmart, right? You
said? Can't wear Bass Pro Shop.
There's a Walmart when you go in off of 22 and you go in, you just hang over. You don't get off on 17 exit. You go right on in, and it's the middle exit.
Right near Tanger Mall or whatever.
Yeah, you go in there and
Tanger Outlet.
You hang a ride, and it's right up there at the stop sign.
So it'll be east of 17.
Yeah.
East of Highway 17.
It's east, right.
You're going to send us an email reminder?
Yeah, it's going to be
what time?
Hold on, it's going to be December
20th.
20th. Okay, that's the next thing we got to work out. That's Saturday. What time?
6 o'clock. Is that? How does that sound with everybody?
It might be late.
I can't make it on the 20th.
What?
I didn't make it last year on the 20th, did I?
No.
We didn't have it on the 20th, well, did we?
Don't worry about the ball game. The ball game.
Ball game is over with. I'll be on a boat.
You cruising?
Oh, you're going to cruise. Too.
Oh man.
No, we're leaving on Saturday, the 20th to go. Huh. Actually, I think we're going to leave on Friday, but
I think you just don't like Golden Corral.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I've been to Golden Corral one time, and it really sucked.
I've been to several different ones, and
I've never been back.
Not satisfied. So we got one at Southport. You might as well just drive on by.
There, yeah. The one I went to was the one there at Walmart in Myrtle Beach on 17.
Yeah.
I mean, on 501 coming into Myrtle Beach is the one I went to, and it was late, about 7 or 8 o'clock, I considered late. Yeah. And the place was filthy, and I did eat there. I was with my family on my daddy's side. A bunch of them went there, and I went with them. Yeah. I ate there, but I never went back. But then that's, you know, you have bad experiences anywhere.
Right.
One of my favorite restaurants, I haven't actually got food that I wasn't satisfied with because I've been there so many times.
Well, I've been to the one in Southport, and I've been to that one down there, and I've completely satisfied both places.
What time of day are we talking about?
6 o'clock.
That's too late. Make it 5.
Yeah, let's go with 5.
Five.
Yeah, because a lot of people have to drive a long way to get home.
A lot of people. Rhymes,
that's so fine.
Before the major crowd gets there.
A lot of people can't see how to drive.
5 o'clock?
5 o'clock. 4 o'clock, man?
5.
That's 4 for you.
4 for you.
Oh,
five
yeah.
For us. I'll reserve a spot, too. I'll make sure y'all two guys have got a seat. Does that sound good?
I think the food does all right. He made it last year on time. I know. I missed the food. I almost didn't work out.
Well, we kind of jump around, but this is our club and our meeting. But y'all get a chance to look over the minutes. And did you see anything that y'all have a disagreement with? Anything you want to change? Or do you accept it as is?
Accept it as is.
I make the motion we accept it as is. Okay. So that's the way it will go in then.
I see a new face here.
Mr. Alan Rogers. I'm Alan Rogers. I'm a former member of 1167.
Really?
Through personal reasons, about 6 years ago I had to drop out, but I've always kept you in mind. I enjoyed coming, and I'm enjoying this meeting today.
Well, cool.
And I'm a pilot. I'm still a pilot, but I don't have a medical because I had heart surgery, but I had a commercial motor engine and an instrument rating, but that was a long time ago.
Well, Mr. Rogers, I wasn't going to forget you or anything. I was going to bring you up. But it seemed to me like I've seen you. You've been a couple of times.
Yeah, well, I came by the year before last, sir, to thank for the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell you, I was talking to Jim about it. I knew Larry. I was going to come to this year, and I kept watching that GA paper, you know, for the date, and it never showed up. So Larry told me it wasn't in the paper, so through my own fault, I missed it.
Next year, I will ensure it's in there, because last year I put it in there.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this. I'm from Mullins, and I didn't ever see anything around Mullins over there that said anything about it. And there's a lot of pilots, you know, over there.
It was unbelievable.
If somebody was sticking, I'd even stick it up for you. Larry, if you let me know, I'd stick a sign over there somewhere.
Yeah, we didn't go to Mullins.
At the barbershop or something.
We went just about everywhere else, though. But
yeah, I should have went. Where I get my haircut, the good place to put a thing, because everybody I roll is a haircut.
Yeah. Do you have an email address?
I sure don't. But Larry, he can get in touch with me. My name's in the phone book at Mullins over there, Alan Rogers. Larry can call me and let me know, and I'll make a little handwritten sign if I have to and put it in Paul's barbershop if I knew when it was. And if I knew for sure whether I join or not again, I'll be glad to come.
Okay, the fall fly-in is always on the first Saturday of November.
Yeah, I knew it was November, but I was looking, and I said, well, maybe they ain't having it this year. I didn't have enough sense to call Larry and see you there again. I got everybody's address anyway, my old paper again.
Yeah.
All you got to do is send them an email and put it in there.
I should have called someone.
I sent them one last year, but I didn't think to do it this time.
Right. Yeah.
What can I say?
Well, how many people's dinners were sold anyway?
We had a little more than 100.
Should have more than that, right? For $6?
Well, there was a lot of them there for the three that I combined. There was quite a few there. When I divided it out, it came out to about 120. Mm-hmm. But there was a time there that I wasn't able to. I was trying to count them, too, as I went along to keep the money and things together. But I kind of got overwhelmed there for a little while with people.
Couldn't count that out.
No, I was sitting there trying to... I could make one little dash, George. I mean, I was able to make one. But I didn't get no volunteer to come in and say, I want to be a counter. I was hoping somebody would step up. But I'll remember that next year. It's kind of hard for me. I wasn't used to... See, this is a new role that I've had to take over. It's a learning experience.
Yeah. When
coming back? He called me last Sunday, and was able to talk to him. He left a message, and from what I talked with Sherry at work and him, I think it's probably be sometime next month, maybe. Because I take that back. She said that he may come in for Thanksgiving.
He told me if there's any way he could get away, he was coming for Thanksgiving.
But they got him working pretty hard. So he got through and talked to you? Because I've called and left a couple messages, but he called that one time and I just happened to miss it.
He was on his way back Sunday, and I called him and talked to him.
Okay. So it will be Thanksgiving then?
Well, he said if they'd let him, and he could sneak out any way at all, he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. They better not turn their back on him. He'd be gone.
He'd be gone for the weekend, huh?
Have we ever compiled a list of people that come to our fly-ins?
No.
The only record we kept was when he takes the photographs and he's got the names there.
We used to. We didn't this year.
Didn't this year?
No, yeah, that might not. I guess it'd be somebody else would have to do it. Somebody's got to do it. But try to compile a list of people that show up and actually physically call those people.
Hopefully that ain't me. That's a lot of... See, the way that we contacted them people, I mean, you asked about names. We do have their names because... mostly, the people that I asked, most of them got the postcards.
Mm-hmm.
And did you happen to get a postcard?
No, I sure did.
Are you a member of the National EAA?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you wouldn't have got it. So what I did is I contacted the EAA, mm-hmm. said I'd like a member list within, I forget what it was, 200 miles, 150 miles, whatever. They sent me 371 names. Mm-hmm. And then I printed postcards with those people's names individually on them. And then I sent out 371 postcards. Okay. Then most of the people that I talked to, everyone that I talked to just about, I asked them how they found out about us, and they found out through them postcards. So the postcard thing's working. Okay.
So. I know the, I can't remember his name, but the guy that talked Dwayne to fly his trike, has got a trike, and he wanted to come, and Dwayne forgot to call him because he wasn't here. And
David.
David, yes. Yeah. He was out here the following weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to stop by. Said he was, but he wanted to come. And
But see, I compile. I get my source from the EAA. So if you're not a member of the EAA, national EAA, then I don't have a list. And I don't know why David would have not known about it, because everybody around this local area pretty much.
Well, he knew it was happening, just didn't know the date.
But what I mean is that, you know, Dwayne lives right there across from him.
You had it on the website.
Yeah, it's on the website. But it's not everybody hits the website, but everybody in Georgetown knew about it, and, you know, that whole area. So, I don't know. Things happen. People get busy. Yeah. It gets overlooked.
Well,
you can't cover for everybody. Yeah. You can't. You cannot put a notification in every publication. It ain't going to happen. You can't. It's too much.
What we can do on the people, though, is that we'll put a podium up here with a register on it and just ask people to sign in. Because a couple people did ask me if there was a place where they could sign in, mm-hmm. and I guess they do that at other places. So we can just get a register book, and ask them if they'll, you know,
sign in.
Well,
that's a good idea. That's a good idea. But I'll tell you one thing, the difference between our fly-in and Bladenboro's fly-in was here we met every airplane. There was a representative of our chapter met every airplane. When they landed and they stopped, somebody introduced herself and talked to them. That's what we did here. Bladenboro, it didn't even happen. People got out of the airplane and just, where do I go? And they have no clue. There's a building up there, so they headed towards a building.
Well, see, there's a lot of walk-ins, so we could catch on that.
Yeah, so we did good in that respect, I think. Okay, I think we should meet every...
I think our flying turned out really well.
But
just, I don't know how we could improve it much other than had a little more food.
Yeah. So.
And the 50-50 thing was a great idea. Somebody just should have thought of it a year or two earlier.
Yeah. But anyhow, if we had somebody like Chuck to make us some more airplanes or something.
Yeah. Raffle off some stuff.
Yeah. And we probably ought to have a flyer here for people to give to people that are interested in joining. And we didn't have that. Nor did Bladenboro, because I asked them, they didn't have anything. So that's a weak link that
we had was a
membership application, but it don't tell you anything about the chapter, when it meets and who we're about and what the website is and blah, blah, blah. So that should be taken care of for next year. But and the podium thing, I think that's a great idea, signing in.
Yes.
You know, for people that want to, you know.
You know, in the past, about 3 years ago, something like that, they made up a chart or whatever you want to call it with the type of the plane and the email address and so forth and so on. And I went out and tried to be, but I found that a lot of people, although they gladly give you the name of their plane, were reluctant to give you the, and the reason for it was, do you want us to contact you on our next fly-in or whatever? And there was a resistance for them wanting to give out their email address.
Yeah.
So this is why we didn't continue that forward.
Yeah. Well, that's very true. And that's why when I contact the EAA, they will not give me nobody's email address.
Oh,
I have to send postcards. Well, postcards are expensive.
That's right. And okay. If we've got their address and we give you, then you're going to get a horrendous amount of expense trying to contact them through their address either or by telephone or whatever.
Well, I've been talking to the EAA because I think that the EAA in their database should keep a record that says, does this member mind if we give out their email to other chapters? I mean, there ought to be something there saying yes or no if it's okay. And as it is, they just say no. Nobody gets it. Okay, and that, I don't think that's right. You know, so what I did was I searched all over the internet for all the EAA chapters, and every one of their websites would have an email address, and then I would send them an email address. Okay, I did that to a lot of them so that we wouldn't have to pay the postage. Okay, but a lot don't have, like Bladenboro don't even have a website. So
maybe if we put some sort of a little clipboard with a couple of columns, and do you wish us to contact you again and so forth, and under the heading there, name of the plane or email address and so forth. And this way, you won't scare them off or whatever you want to say.
Right.
And if they want to leave it, they will. See, and take care of it. But I really felt that when I went out there to try and, they felt you were, I don't know, imposing upon them or looking for more information and you, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if we put a sign up there, then it's all voluntary and it's not pushing or intimidating.
Right.
So they can just sign in. Because it's, like I say, I'd like to get all the walk-ins too.
Yeah, you can put it right at the beginning of our line.
Yeah.
Which they come in the door. Mm-hmm. Just put it there, and if anybody wanted to sign in, they could.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Then that would get everybody walk-ins.
Well, we used to walk out to the airplane and ask them for it. And I think it's better. I think the podium thing's better. This is real hard to try to meet somebody as they're exiting the airplane and all that. That's a pain, you know, to get their information.
On we'll pick up on that. Is there anything that anybody else wants to bring up as new business for that's on your mind? None? What about any old business that's still out there that anybody wants to bring up?
What's the latest on our friend in West Virginia?
Dwayne.
Yeah, did he go down to West Virginia? For
He's still working there, and
he's still there.
Yeah, and it may be after the first of the year before he gets back. But he's trying to come home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But he's working every day, 10, 12 hours a day. They've got a deadline to get this pipe in. And
yeah, maybe maybe he can meet us at Christmas. For Christmas dinner, since he's skipping out, maybe we can get Dwayne in.
Yeah, y'all eat for me. God knows there won't be enough food on that boat, feeding.
Oh, we could all, you got a good deal on that, we could all go too. It's a big Christmas out there.
Yeah, I guess. I'll go on a cruise for a week for Christmas.
On the roof, I guess that, That's still an ongoing process, and I guess one of these days we'll...
It's raining today, so I'm not going up there today, but I did notice when I tried to patch it the last time that the screws are either backed out or were never tightened down good enough, some of them. So next time I go up, I'm going to take the screws out and replace them and see if that does it. But it's an old roof, and it's been patched a few times, so we'll probably have to keep after it. But another weekend, maybe when it's decent weather, we'll go back up there and work on it again.
Well, you going to be around next weekend?
No, I'm going to Florida next weekend. I'll be gone Saturday. Well, I'll leave it Friday. I'll be back Sunday afternoon.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll wait on that. We just had the 5 gallons. Did we ever,
what we did was open that up.
Wayne didn't ever.
And just found what we thought was the leaks and just put some right around before we thought the leaks were.
Okay.
Instead of trying to just go over and do the whole thing.
Do the whole roof later. Is there anything else? Well, Wayne, we do appreciate you coming over today. And
Alan
Rogers. I'm sorry, I still had Wayne. Glad you took your time and came on over, and hope that you might consider coming back in with us.
I said that had been in 6 years, but I hadn't forgot about the chapter either. I still wear my hat now and then. EA 1167.
How's the plane flying?
It flew good. I hadn't plumbed it yet.
I wanted to mention dangerous. The other guy that was flying,
Steve.
Yeah,
Steve's he flies the Mini Max real well, but not real smartly.
I think that next year, somehow we got to get the word to those people: you don't fly low over the damn people. That was.
I want to ask you to do something. You're probably more familiar with it since you might fly more than the rest of us. If you could get a airport diagram and get it outlaid and have restricted areas on it so that we
should... No restricted areas. Yeah. That's part of it. I was going to bring this up.
I have to admit
there's people out there with $500,000 airplanes sitting out there, a man flying over it and crashing and burning. Some people got airplanes out there they make a living by.
Yeah.
Anybody do that in sunny fun, tell them to stay 400 feet or under and stay on the south side of the runway. That's all they need to do.
500 feet away from the people, 500 feet above them.
Yeah, that's the FAA rule.
Bare minimum.
That's right. And when people like yours flying out there with numbers on it, someone all they had to do write it down, they shut the whole place down.
Yeah. And
the thing of it is, they're flying ultralights and they don't think that they have to follow the rules.
They don't know the rules, I guarantee you.
That's it.
But I'll tell you that individual has been in the trees a couple times already.
He turned red one.
And he flies down the coast. I've had people complain about him, thinking they're going to get run into him by him and his buddy, you know. And they come to the pier, they just lift up the top of it and down the other side. But it gives, everybody said, that. Look at that airplane. You know, they don't realize it's an ultralight. And all the rest of us pilots suffer for it. You know?
Well, there's a lot of people, you know, just like Binky coming in with that biplane. That's how he makes his living. And somebody buzzing right over the top of it, I was pretty nervous about it, you know what I mean? And I was kind of embarrassed that there were three planes brought in from up there that's worth a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And someone dive bombing over the top of them. The man made a living out going to think twice about it, you know what I mean? And we circled the field five times to get in here on 40 gallons an hour. It took us five passes to get in here. Because every time we got ready to go, somebody on the other end was pulling out instead of having respect. There was three planes flying up there burning about 60 gallons an hour. It took us five passes to get in.
Well, another thing we need to do on that is we need to have two operating radios. So, and everybody needs to be tuned in to the same frequency.
We tuned in and called in, and when we told them what we were going to do, make a pass over, come in for final, for landing, and it stayed. And we aborted four times. On the fifth time, we come in.
Yeah, you can't depend on the radio because some of them guys don't have radios.
That's right. But there should be someone out there controlling the traffic at the end of the runway and that's got a radio knowing someone's coming in on the approach and hold them back. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's other people like that guy that's out there in that warbird. He's probably burning 60 gallons an hour too if he had to roll around here four or five times, you know. It's just respect for people that, you know, a plane burning 3 gallons, you know, 2 or 3 gallons an hour, should just lay back and let the other ones come in. Instead of having to sit up there and burn gas. That's just my fault because I come in on one, you know. Knowing what $6 gallon gas is that run around.
Yeah.
Well, that's something that we should always practice is safety foremost in anything we do. And so that's things that we need to address next year. Or the next plan we have, I guess the next one is coming up is this spring.
Well, before we have our next one, whoever it's actually going to do the controlling the aircraft, just sit down with the pilots and have a meeting and determine how they're going to handle them. Because you may have three airplanes and it not be a problem, but we had, 40 airplanes coming out here?
Yeah.
And at the time, there was quite
We probably had more problems this year because of that.
The problem wasn't with the certified planes. It was people that probably didn't know really, that had no, you know, that really. I mean, me sitting there watching, I could see the ones that was giving us the problems. They were just going out to fly around and come back and land again. You know what I mean? It wasn't that they were getting ready to leave out type situation. It was, they were playing.
Just playing.
And we had to sit. You know, here we are.
Well, we also didn't. I didn't see much traffic on our ultralight strip for some of the smaller aircraft that could have utilized that instead of the long strip.
Well,
you got to be careful about any time you use the two strips too.
They're too close together.
Yeah.
And it's fine for people out here on average run of the day traffic to use the ultralight runway, but I really didn't think that was a good idea to use the ultralight runway, especially after Steve took off and flew right over the crowd.
Yeah, that right there, I kind of.
It was one thing when he come out and made the pass down the runway, but he kept going.
Yeah, on the runway. That's what.
He would have flew over some planes because there was some out there.
Yeah, but.
But when he made that turn and come over this building, he was 150, 200 feet at the most in the air.
Yeah, dude, that.
Yeah. It was.
You know, there's a lot of people that haven't seen that, that's got a plane sitting out there. Mm-hmm. You know, man, you got to dive in here and wipe us all out.
I was more concerned about the people if something happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too.
Do you have an active instructor in the group?
No.
An active instructor can reprimand a person like that. You don't have to have the blessing of the FAA to do it. I was active instructor. He can go up, ask or critique him on his flying and write up in his logbook so he hadn't turned it in. So you don't have to call the FAA to get active. But I'll tell you something. I don't know what the laws are now, but when I was in a memory, you know, anytime you sanction an event like this, you're liable for certain things, you know, and so it behooves you to, it's a fault of the gun lighting. We appreciate you here, but you've got to stay in this area and that area, because if you get that thing about that many airplanes out there, the EA can be held responsible for it, because you sanctioned that event. So.
Well, the EA's backed off that now.
They have?
Yeah, that's.
And well, they don't want you to do it in their name, right? Is it a chapter name or EA name?
It's not EA. No, it's
November, wasn't
it?
Well, we still get, no, it's sort of sanctioned by the EAA still, because we get insurance. I have to apply for it.
This is none of my business. Well, it's my business too.
But we have to say, like you said, mm-hmm. we have to say no aerobatics, no.
You can't let him keep doing it and hold back the culture.
Right. No. Well, see, what happened this last time was that the Minimax guys, they know not to do it, but they did it anyhow, and it's nothing you can do about it. I mean,
they didn't have radio, so you couldn't even call them.
But the chapter, they can do something about it. That's where I'm coming from. As a chapter, the FAA can come down here and say, you won't do this anymore.
I think what would happen if we were condoning it,
it'd be pilot briefing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they land and they come in before they enter here for food or anything, all pilots check in. Mm-hmm. Each one gets a sheet on the operational.
Well, see, that would be great, but what are you going to, I mean, everybody staggers in throughout the day.
Right, but so I mean, you can't have a thing, all pilots.
You're going to have 30 pilot briefings in, what I'm saying.
No, all pilots check in and you just give them a paper. What I'm saying is, you
got an event that starts at 9 o'clock and runs to 5. People are coming and going all day long. When are you going to hold the
meeting? When they come in,
uh-huh.
They check in and they get handed the operational.
You're saying they handed a piece of paper.
When they go to leave, they know that
as long as it ain't a briefing, okay?
No. They know that they get ready to leave, they have to give way to the aircraft coming in.
Yeah.
And that you don't fly over certain areas of here.
That's why we need somebody out there with a radio blocking in and blocking out to make sure that the incoming aircraft has the right of way. Yeah, having directions is not a that would be a good. But we also need one with the airfield, the restricted areas, and the information that we need to give them as far as what our regulations.
If you're going to go up and fly around sightseeing, this is your.
That's true.
I
think the only.
Wide open after seeing Bladenboro the way it was, that's about as loose as you could get to.
It's my understanding that you cannot tell a person what to do with the radio, because you're not a licensed tower. You can only suggest, and that's what I was doing, and I did it to the best of my ability.
Well, you did it. We're not complaining about what you did at all, Jim.
Jim didn't have radios in him.
And it's hard for you. It's hard for you to get out there.
When we talked to you, when we were coming in.
Yeah.
And then right now, all of a sudden, about 3 ultra pulled out on the runway and started taxiing up. And then one after another, they just started coming out of the woodwork.
You have no control over
them. I know you
That's don't. True. And that's the ones that we want to get the paperwork out to. They're the main ones that the perpetrators of breaking the rules is the ones without communication.
I think it's the first flying, though, we've ever had a problem that I know of.
And it is true about certified flight examiners and stuff. You can bust anybody anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Let me say one thing about the regulations. In an uncontrolled airport with no operating control tower, which the pilot's discretion on the way he does it. However, he is responsible for operating his aircraft. And I don't care what kind of airplane you've got. If you've got an older light, don't weigh but 50 pounds, you're still subject to FARs. So he can't just literally go out and come what he wants to, even though he's an older light. And don't have a license and don't know anything about rigs, he can't go jumping in and out of places. He's got to follow a prescribed method entering and leaving the pattern.
That's right.
And he's got to go in an orderly manner. Just because he don't have a license, and not, and he's still subject to regulations.
That's right.
You can, whoever's in charge of it, can go out and say, you know, Mr. So-and-so, we appreciate having you and everything, but you caused a problem with the way you're flying, and you know, and running what the regulations are, because if you're like a flying instructor, and you actually look at it, you know, you're going to have to fly, take the supposed job and write you up, and do it for you.
Well, the same ones that we're talking about here went to Lumberton. They come in like they were supposed to, and they left like they were supposed to.
Well, it's called, they probably feel like it's wide open, see? And yeah. I'm pretty sure if you were to say, look here, we've got a certain way we do things here, and we appreciate a good follow in order, they probably wouldn't have any problem at all doing it.
Because I did talk to Steve before he came, and I told him it was a left-hand pattern, and the wind almost always come out of the north. Almost, not always.
And the other thing about the regulations, you don't ever fly over open air ascendant, people say.
No, never.
You can't do that anywhere without a waiver, see. And I don't know how kind of waiver you'd have to do it. The only waiver I know of is
have a hard time getting
one. Blue Angels, they got a waiver to go over the cabin.
They don't do much of that now.
You can't get a waiver to go over this crowd out here, and you can't do it legally, see. It's a danger to the ship and the people below in the aircraft. So.
Yeah.
So he's breaking a rig right there. And what was this gentleman, Jim, used to be in here? Bob used to be a FA man.
Oh, Bob Burrows.
Bob Burrows. Does he ever show up anymore?
Oh, yeah, he was here.
He was here.
Well, if you let everybody know who he is, they probably would kind of watch the P's and Q's, because he can rise up on the spot. He ain't got to call anybody to get anybody's permission. So. My suggestion would be, from being a previous instructor, is to confront these people and say, look here, you create a dangerous situation. I appreciate you giving me all of the status quo. And
just tickle, we had enough aircraft to have the situation.
Yeah really.
Well, we need
to. That's a dangerous thing. You can fly over somebody, put an engine knocks off, you're going to want to have somebody front seat of somebody's airplane out there in the barbecue pit or something.
Yeah, because Steve flew this thing originally.
You're going to have to take the initiative, whoever's in charge, to confront these people. Because if you don't do it, they're going to keep on doing it.
And he didn't do anything like that when he flew it the first time. He flew down the runway, he gained his altitude, flew it like he ought to. That last time he flew out here, he would take off and turn right over these trees out here. Too low. Yeah. If the engine would ever sputtered one time, it would have been over with.
Yeah, well, people are by and large like children. The more you let them get by, the more they'll,
yeah,
the more they will get by the things they say. You just confront them with what I suggest.
Well, I guess we need to write up a standard operating procedure for us then on these fly-ins and make sure that we have something we can pass out as the pilots come in and whoever gets out there and welcomes them in.
Like Dennis said, we always had somebody meeting them. Mm-hmm. You just carry it with you, and when you meet them, say, here's mm-hmm. our operational.
Okay. You want to bring something up? Because...
Anybody here familiar with Carolina Flyers, the website?
Yeah, that's...
Holly Hill.
Yeah.
They've got a raffle going on for a Challenger 2 that's going to be completely redone. Long wing. It's beautiful. Unbelievably beautiful, the way it's been redone. Maybe 400-some hours on it. Anyway, they're only going to raffle... They're raffling it off 500 chances. Each ticket's $100. So... And you also have the option, if you don't want the aircraft, you can get $10,000 cash. So if you're looking for an airplane, a $100 chance, you only need one ticket to win. It would be $500, and that's better odds than any raffle anywhere. So for a $100 ticket, you got a chance of winning yourself a completely redone Challenger 2 long wing.
Jeez, I would already do that with my airplane. I'd do $50.
Anyway, that was something I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah,
cool. You take a shot at, you know, the plane's worth more than $10,000.
Yeah.
And but they will allow you to say, no, I don't want it. I'll take $10,000 cash. So, but there's only going to be like 500 chances.
Well,
Luscombe's got a deal like that going too.
Before we close out or anything, we had some eats that we were doing today.
Yeah, I got the barbecue in the oven and it was frozen from me. So I'm not sure it's ready yet. But
we got some barbecue and baked beans and bread.
Anybody wants to stay and have a sandwich and some beans?
And we would definitely like to have you back in if you're so wish.
I'm not considering, I'm thinking that. I'm getting my affairs in order now to where I'll be free again on the I'll come back by in another meeting. By then, I'll do one with us for sure.
Okay.
I just happened by today because I met Larry at breakfast this morning, and it just happened to be the third Saturday. And I just happened to take my grandson to the beach to his job, and I said, well, I'm going to run back by here.
Mm-hmm. Now the supper next month will be next month's meeting.
Yeah, we will have a meeting.
We just had the dinner.
You understand? The next meeting should be sure third Saturday of next month. Go.
It's
5 o'clock.
To go
on Corral.
Right. Right.
Yes.
So that'll be the third. Crawl some Bass Pro Shop.
Yes, sir.
Down there somewhere.
Well, that's all I have today. Anybody else want to bring up anything or make a motion to close?
I'll make a motion. Meeting be adjourned.
Second. Now, I do appreciate everybody coming today with the weather the way it is. And if any of y'all don't show up for the thing, I wish y'all a good Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm.